Again, brothers and sisters, it's a great joy for me to be here with all of you and to celebrate this Mass as a token of my gratitude for the years that I've been here and for all of you. I'd like to begin today first by wishing all the fathers here a very happy Father's Day. Today is a day not only to celebrate the very great gift of fatherhood, but to also remind ourselves of the dignity of fatherhood. We should never forget that God himself has revealed himself to us as God the Father. The Christian father, therefore, is called to witness to this truth that he is made in the image of God the Father. The Christian father witnesses in this way by training his children in the faith, by educating them in virtue and in obedience to the laws of God. The father witnesses to the justice of God when he disciplines and to the mercy of God when he forgives. And most especially, the father witnesses to the love of God the Father by dedicating his own life to his family out of love for them, for their well-being, and for the great good which they represent both to himself and to the world. So again, fathers, I wish you a very happy Father's Day. Now, I'd like to speak to you today as well about the first reading in particular that we read from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Before I dive into that prophecy, just as a way of leading into it, I was blessed a couple of years ago to visit the Holy Land, to make pilgrimage there with the seminary. Unfortunately, it is difficult, if not impossible, to do that now, so I feel especially blessed that I was given this opportunity when I was. And the reason I mention this trip, this pilgrimage that I made, is because in part, one of the blessings that comes from having been to the Holy Land, and part of the reason that the seminary wants seminarians to go there, is because when you've gone to the Holy Land, you can understand Scripture in a way that you can't if you have not been there. You can kind of see the landscape that Scripture is talking about in a way that is difficult to do if you haven't been to the Holy Land. And a perfect example of this is in today's first reading from the prophet of Ezekiel, this benefit of having been to the Holy Land to see what it's like. Now we read that the prophet says, "Thus says the Lord God, I too will take from the crest of the cedar, from its topmost branches, tear off a tender shoot and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it." Now Ezekiel, though he was at that time prophesying from the city of Babylon, which is east of the land of Israel, he grew up in Palestine, the Holy Land, and he knew what it was like. And he certainly knew two things about the Holy Land. First, that cedars don't actually grow in Israel. Cedar trees don't grow in Israel. They grow north of Israel in Lebanon and in the mountains north of Israel, but they don't really grow in the main part of the land of Israel. Secondly, most of the hilltops, there are exceptions, but most of the hilltops in Israel do not usually have trees on them. I mean, they're usually bare. And so if you put something on the top of a hill in Israel, you can see it for miles around because there's just not a lot of trees or anything else other than other hills to block the view. Therefore, for a cedar tree to be planted on a mountain, as the prophecy says, would be a natural wonder in Israel. It would be a miracle. So what then is the meaning of the prophecy? Has it been fulfilled? Is there a cedar tree planted somewhere on a mountaintop in Israel? In fact, the prophecy has been fulfilled, but in a way more wonderful than many at the time of Ezekiel could have believed. And this is what I want to talk to you about today, how this prophecy has been fulfilled. Now, the prophecy of Ezekiel highlights two significant motifs, which I've just been talking about, the cedar tree and the mountaintop. Both of these motifs, these images, are found throughout the scriptures. But usually they are connected with a third motif or image, the image of the city. And in particular, the image of the city on a hill. Our Lord refers to the city in the Gospel of Matthew, where he says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Now again, if you've ever been to Israel, and you know that what our Lord is saying here is just true. If you put a city on a hill in Israel, you're going to see it for miles and miles around. And in fact, every ancient city in Palestine was in fact built on a hill. And of course, the most famous of these cities is Jerusalem, which was originally built on the ridge connecting Mount Zion and Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is where tradition tells us that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. So closely tied is the city of Jerusalem to these mountains, especially the mountain of Zion, that it is often referred to in Scripture simply as the city of Zion, or just Zion. But why build a city on a hill? The ancient cities of Palestine were built on hilltops for three reasons. At least three, not more. First, a city on a hill is more easily defensible. If your city is built on a hill, one, you can see the enemy coming from miles away, and so you can ready your defenses. But then once the enemy arrives, he must battle up the hill while you rain down fury on him from above. Second, for the ancient peoples, including the Israelites, they were drawn to hilltops as fitting places for worship. For it was believed that if you were on the hilltop, you were closer to the heavens where the gods or God dwelt. This was true of both the pagans and of the Jews. So if God dwells in the heavens, then you want to be closer to him when you're worshiping him. So you go to the tops of the mountains. Now, we must understand this to be true only symbolically, for we know that God is close to us wherever we are. We're not closer to God on the top of a hill than on the bottom. But this was an important symbol, so important that we still actually have this symbol present here today, because we build our churches with a raised sanctuary. We climb up steps to come to the altar. This is a little miniature mountain, as it were. So we come up the mountain, even here in the church, to worship God. Now, the third reason that a city was built on a hill is so that it could be seen. Now, you might think to yourself, why is that a thing? Why would you want your city to be seen? Well, in the ancient world, especially in the land of Palestine, the people that dwelt there wanted their cities to be built on a hill because they wanted them to be seen for their glory, for their majesty. Because the city was the dwelling place not only of people, but it was also the dwelling place of the gods, or of God, who was in the temple. Again, this is true of the pagans and of the Jews. But it was also a dwelling place for the king, who ruled the city and his people. And the more magnificent and the more majestic his city, then the more powerful and successful it looked that the king was, who ruled that city. And the king would want the fame of his city and of his kingship to be known far and wide so that many would come to see it. What a better way to ensure that this would happen than to build your magnificent city on the top of a hill which could be seen from miles away. Therefore, to summarize, a city is built on a hill so that it can be defended, so that people there could be close to the divine, and so that the glory of the city will be seen far and wide and attract many visitors. All right, now let's return to the cedar tree motif in the prophecy of Ezekiel. We are told in other parts of Scripture that two things were built of cedar wood, and really only two: palace of the kings and the temple in Jerusalem. These were built of cedar because, since cedar doesn't grow in Israel, it was costly to import. And so it was a costly material fitting for God and for the king. So when we hear about cedar trees in Scripture, the sacred writer wants us to be thinking of these two things: the palace of the king and the temple. What is the spiritual meaning, then, of the cedar tree mentioned in the prophecy of Ezekiel, the cedar planted on the mountaintop? Well, we must remember that when Ezekiel first gave the prophecy that we read today, the city of Jerusalem had or would shortly be destroyed completely. Therefore, Ezekiel is foretelling the building of a new city and a new temple. A new city and a new temple. And we know that this prophecy has been fulfilled in none other than Christ Jesus our Lord. For he says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I shall raise it up again." Christ is that cedar tree planted on the mountain. He is the city built on the hill. But in particular, it is the cross of Christ, which is the most poignant fulfillment of this prophecy. The cross is a vivid image. We have a beautiful depiction of it here. For in the cross, God has made the withered tree to bloom. Here is the tree planted on the mountain, the hilltop of Golgotha. And it is a foreign tree, for the one who hangs upon it is from heaven. He is God. And it is planted on a bare hilltop where all in the city and all in the world could gaze upon it and wonder. How many do you think recognize the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy at the time of the crucifixion when they gazed upon Christ on the cross? And yet here is that fulfillment nonetheless. Christ is the fruit of this tree, and in him many have come to dwell. As it says, birds of every kind shall dwell beneath it, every winged thing in the shade of its boughs. We are those birds who come to dwell in the body of Christ, who make up its members, who live in the city of God by virtue of our baptisms. Here, brothers and sisters, is the first beam, the first wooden beam in the new structure, in the new temple, and in the new palace of the King, God himself, into which all of us are called to be built. For St. Peter says in his first letter, "Be yourselves built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." Here, brothers and sisters, is the beginning of that structure. Here in the cross is the beginning of the heavenly Jerusalem. And like all the cities of old, God has begun the building on a hilltop. For here we have a strong defense. "Fear not," says the Lord, "for I am with you always." We can always go to Christ on the cross in our need and know that we will be protected and that we have been saved by his blood shed for us. Here on the mountaintop of Golgotha, we are close to the divine, as close as we could ever be. And here in this church, on the mountaintop of the sanctuary, we come to receive the fruit of this tree in the Eucharist. For our Lord says to us at every Mass, "Take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood given and poured out for you." And finally, brothers and sisters, this is the city which all the world should see, for it is the city of man's only hope and salvation. "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy burdens," says the Lord, "and I will give you rest." Here is the city where the King, God himself, rules with perfect justice and perfect mercy. And he says to us, "Come, enter into the joys prepared for you herein." But brothers and sisters, we also have been given a mission in the fulfillment of this prophecy. For as members of the body of Christ, as branches grafted onto the true vine, as seeds planted in the blood of the Lamb and watered by his Spirit, we are charged to make sure that all can see the city in which we dwell, in us and in our deeds. All should be able to see in us Christ, the person who is God, and who has joined himself to us and holds out his hand to embrace all the world. He has chosen us as his emissaries, as his witnesses, as his messengers, saying, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Now, how are we supposed to do that? It says in the scriptures, our Lord says to us, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Therefore, the way to bear witness to this beautiful fulfillment of the prophecy of Ezekiel, the fulfillment that Christ has won the salvation for us, that he has erected this city on a hill for all to see, the way to bear witness to that, brothers and sisters, is by the way we love each other and the rest of our neighbors. And what is it to love? Well, behold the cedar tree planted on the high mountain. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and who has shed his blood for us. And then, with this sight in our eyes, let us hear ringing in our ears the words of Mary, our mother, who says to us, "Do whatever he tells you."